The Athlete CEO Podcast. Let's go.
Just quickly, Isaac, just a 30-second bio, man, just to let our viewers know a bit about you that may not know. So over to you, bro.
Full name Isaac John. Grew up in a small town called Tokoro over New Zealand. Had aspirations to be an NRL player when I was a kid. Ended up doing that, probably not as successfully as I wanted to do, but transitioned from sport into business and now run a small clothing label.
Awesome, awesome. Thanks for that, brother. We'll just touch on that a bit because last weekend's guest, I had Kevin Bealanu,
who was also from
Tokoroa. So it's we had a good chat and he shared a bit about growing up there. So we'll just go straight to it, man. When did you, I guess, start this journey to play in the NRL? How did it all begin for you?
My dad was a massive rugby league fan, so he was always my coach growing up. I had all my good mates growing up. We had the same team growing up all together. Yep. And guy like Quay Cooper, he was one of my best friends growing up as well. So yep. he went on to do big things in rugby union, but just always had that ambition. And it's probably a passion instilled from my dad.
Yeah, so it's Quay from Tokoroa as well, or just he is?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, sweet. So when did it start to make sense that there would be an opportunity to play as a professional? At what age?
I feel like when I was about 16, 17, I sort of felt like I was making some good progression. I was making all the sort of junior rep sides, the junior Kiwis and all that. Had a scholarship contract with Parramatta. So when I was 14, 15, I was flying over here for like week camps and all that sort of stuff. So really opened up my eyes. There's obviously a few good players that I grew up with that didn't really kick on, but I think I was lucky because I had that contract. Those contracts when I was young, I could go out and I could see Australia, do you know what I mean? So the world felt a lot bigger than my hometown. So I'm glad I got to see those pretty early. Then when I was sort of about 17, 18, I sort of felt like I could have a decent crack at it.
Yeah. So at 17, 18, were you still signed with Para? Or how did you get over to the Warriors?
Tony Oro. So he basically, when I was my last year in high school, he goes, looking after Cook Islander boys as well. He goes, Sponge. He goes, the 20 comp's about to start. I need a halfback. Mm. And he goes, do you want to be it? And I was like, yep. So he signed a little 3-year contract when I was first year out of high school. So I went up and trained, done the preseason with the first grade and all that.
Yeah. What year was that?
End of 06.
Oh, okay. Cool. And then, because I know that you debuted for the Warriors in 2009. Sorry, mate, just did a bit of a quick search on Wikipedia. And round 19. do you remember that game? Obviously, you know, when you look back at your journey and then finally putting on that jersey to play first grade, do you remember sort of the feeling that you had?
Yeah, I remember because I don't really get nervous, but I remember I was really nervous that game. And I was nervous during the week because I was playing 5-8. And I used to always read the team list of NRL sides, and like I was actually in one, and I was between Manu Vatavai and Stacey Jones.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, even though I trained with him for the last like 2 years, and like I called him like a friend at the time. Yeah. Just like, I don't know, just something about it felt different. Remember the game? I remember I only played like 65, 70 minutes. Ended up blowing out. I remember setting up a try, and that's about it. Everything else just went that quick.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about your time at the Warriors, man. Obviously, you named a few of the guys that I obviously played with earlier on. But how was it? You know, what did you enjoy about it? Obviously, you know, and the boys 3-0.
Yeah, the boys are on fire, aren't they? It's good to see them actually throwing the footy around too, which is exciting. And it's sort of a style that you guys brought up. But my time at the Warriors, I really enjoyed it. Obviously, when you come from high school into that sort of system, you think, oh, all I want to do is just play for these guys. And like, I grew up watching the Warriors, like that was sort of my second team. But obviously when you guys were having your successful periods, it had a big impact on the country. And obviously like myself as a kid, so every kick was either like a little grubber that Stacey tried to do or like banana kicks, you know what I mean? Never thought about kicking long and putting pressure on. But yeah, just once I got to the Warriors, it was a great time because the 20s comp just started and Warriors are very successful in the 20s. Won a few comps as well, so didn't realise that at the time, but it was the only time you were ever going to play footy with people on the same level that were trying to do the same things as you. that were the same age as you, and I didn't really appreciate that at the time, but yeah. I look back and that 20s year away was probably one of my favourite years I've ever played footy.
Yeah, and I think you were a part of that, some of the best 20 squads that the Warriors have had. Did you win the two premierships? Were you part of that 20 side?
I was only available for the first year in 08, yep. And I was too old. And then, yeah, they went back-to-back maybe 2 years later or something. But we had a pretty good side. So basically, I think when I look back, probably about 15 of our side went on to go play first grade.
Far out. 15.
Yeah.
So, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was crazy. It's crazy. When I look back at it now, it's crazy.
Yeah. So you moved on from the Warriors and then you made your transition over to Oz.
I actually went to England first before that.
You went to Wakefield.
Yeah,
tell us about your time in old Wakey. I lived in Wakey when I was playing for Cass, so I know a lot about it. Yeah.
I hated it, eh?
Share, man, share.
Yeah. Oh, so basically 2011 grand final, all three grades made the final. Ivan was still the coach. And yeah. Bluey McLennan come in the Wednesday before the grand final because he was going to take over coaching the next year. And he set me down for like a lunch. He goes, oh, basically you're not wanted here anymore. I'd still had a contract there. He goes, oh, you can stay here if you want, but I'm not going to play you. And I was like, oh, sweet. So I was sort of 20, 21 at the time.
Yeah.
It was end of the season, so all the salary cap had been taken up over in Australia. And my only two options were either go Widnes or Wakefield. I looked at the two squads coming, and Ali Lawatini, like I knew who he was, so I was like, I knew two other guys that were playing for Wakefield, and that's pretty much the reason I went there, because I didn't want to go over there and just sort of be on my own. But in terms of Wakey, I enjoyed it for the first couple of months, but after a while, I don't know, just I was on the own, I was there on my own for a lot of the time.
Yeah,
it's just a dark place, eh?
Yeah, especially during preseason, during the winter. Yeah, definitely know what you mean.
So, when you get home, it's like 3:30 and it's almost pitch black, you know what I mean? So you eat dinner at 5 and you're just like, fuck, what do I do now?
Yeah.
And it's just like that for 6 months and I'm just going, oh, get me out of here.
Yeah. And so what did you think about the style of footy over there?
I can't really remember, but I remember at the time, like when I was over there, I was thinking, oh, this is like good quality football. And I felt like everyone in the Super League thinks that, but once you come back and then you get a taste of NRL again, you go, oh, it's such a different standard. So, basically, like, it's a bit more free-flowing. It sort of favours attacking players, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which I enjoy because couldn't really make a tackle anyway. but once I come back, the standard of training, the way you get treated as a player, like some of the players over there get treated like rubbish, man, like...
Yeah,
like in terms of like minimum wage, I remember being with kids that are doing the same amount of training as us, and now getting paid like 5,000 quid for the year. You know what I mean? And didn't get the education paid for. So we're very lucky over here in NRL that we had to have all this sort of stuff.
Yeah,
but I remember going over there. I'm thinking, "Fuck you, poor blokes. You got it rough."
Yeah. So did you come back to Sydney? How did that eventuate?
So fell out of favour with one of the coaches over there as well.
Yeah.
same sort of story. He's coming, sat me in the office and he goes, no matter how well you train, no matter how well you play, I'm not going to play it. I was still 21 at the time over there on my own. I was like, at the time, I generally thought I was just going to quit footy, go try and do something else. Then I go, oh, I'll give it one more pre-season. So I trained, I was one of the fittest there at the time. I was one of the best trainers, and all the boys are going, oh, you're going to get a run.
Yeah.
And then there was three trials. He gave me one trial. I play halfback. He paid me hooker off the bench for the last 5 minutes of the last trial. And I remember it was in the middle of the snow. And I remember from that standpoint, I go, oh, I'm done. Like he's not going to play me no matter what. I'm just ready to go home, go do something else. And then Ivan rang me. He goes, we're looking for a backup half. I can't promise you anything, but there's an opportunity here. If one of the boys go down, I'll give you a run. I was like, yep, sweet. But basically 2 days later, I was on the plane. But over there, you know how they can do, like, they pay out contracts a lot?
Yeah.
So I've walked into the office. I go, oh, yeah, I'm not leaving. I've got an offer, but I'm not leaving without a certain amount of my cash.
Yeah.
I was always going, they could have paid me nothing. I would have walked straight out. But end up getting a little bit of that money and... Yeah. Was on a flight 2 days later, and I remember my last training there, it was minus 11 degrees Celsius.
Oh.
And my first training at Penrith was 39, 40.
Both extremities, eh?
Yeah, so I've gone from being sort of fit and then going over there and just not being able to cope to the heat, and I was straight out the back.
Yeah, far out, man. And bro, honestly, you know, I hope you don't mind, but just hearing the conversations that we had from your time at the Warriors and then also over the UK with coaches, especially the UK coach, when a coach says something like that to you and says, doesn't matter how well you're going to play, I'm not going to play you. Like mentally, what goes through your mind? Because you're able to sort of, obviously another opportunity came, but how do you sort of deal with those sort of setbacks when a coach actually says that?
Yeah, I don't know. You sort of just take it like as it is at the time. But I remember at the time thinking like, I'm just going to prove you wrong. Like,
yeah.
I sort of backed my ability to play football. So I was like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to train. I was going to wait for my chance. It's going to come. I don't know when it's going to come, but it is. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm going to go all in. And then lucky I did train my ass off that period over there, because once I did come back to NRL, I was like, I generally felt ready. So, but yeah, like I said, it is hard to take sometimes. But
yeah.
And I was 21 at the time. When you're 21, you think 21's a lot older than 21 is. So yeah. I look at 21s now and don't think, oh, like you seem so young. But yeah. I remember you sort of have that sort of, like you just want to prove something wrong. Like that was me personally anyway.
Yeah. And that's awesome insight, man, because obviously you carried on training hard. You carried on sort of turning up. And then the opportunity came when Ivan gave you that phone call and you played some good footy when you went over to Penrith. How was that coming back to and play back in the NRL for you?
Yeah, it was good. Like, I was just generally just to be happy with this side of the world, you know what I mean? So you go from being in the snow to seeing the sunshine every day and just hanging around blokes you actually know. I don't know. I was just really happy, and I was only playing reserve grade at the time for like the first five rounds. But I was just like, I just had that sort of gratitude mentality. Like I'm happy to be almost home. I can understand the accent, like all that sort of stuff. And I ended up playing somewhere like football. And probably 2013 was the year I probably played my most consistent football.
Yeah.
Where I sort of walked in round 8, 9. We played Melbourne Storm. We're paying $11 to win. Ended up beating them, and then we ended up playing the Warriors the next week, and like ended up pumping them too. So
yeah.
it sort of looked like I was doing a lot more than I actually was for the team, and I got to play the whole year.
Yeah, nah, that's awesome, man. And I just want to congratulate you, because obviously there's a message here for anyone that's watching, any aspiring league players, that you know that you just kept turning up no matter what. So and that was awesome. So I guess if I was to ask. Do you have any piece of advice for any young aspiring footy players, just before we try sort of go down the YKTR road, what would be sort of some advice you'd give them? Because just listening to this impact story that you've had, there's so many nuggets in that, just from your journey in football.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, I think as a junior like football player, you hear it all the time as you're growing up, like not all the most talented ones make it.
Yeah.
And I think that's so true. Like once I see it now, like, I remember being like 16, 17, like, oh, this guy's going to walk into first grade. And there's reason cliches are cliches is because they hold true over time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and I think the main one you can get from me, I remember when we were kids in Toke, like we really didn't have that guy who was generally from Toke that we could look up to and go like, oh, that's my guy. If he can make it, like we can. So
yeah.
And I remember we were kids. We were going to go. Yeah, like we're just going to play first grade. Like we actually thought we were going to play NRL. And obviously, Quade was going to kick on. My other best mate growing up at the time was Sean Maitland. He played for the Crusaders and he's played for the British Lions. And us three together, we just generally thought we were going to make it. So we're sort of lucky that we did. We did have those sort of group of friends. We didn't understand it at the time. But also, like, the power of the words and the actions. Like, we generally thought we were going to, like, make it, which we did. And I think it generally doesn't matter where you come from now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
Because like, we were kids and we used to go up to Auckland, get pumped. Guys who look like grown men at 14 and just getting run over. and probably the same size as you at 14.
Yeah.
What's going on? That guy's got a beard. So, and then we should just and never deterred us. We'd go, oh yeah, we're going to make this. Do you know what I mean? And like guys from, especially from my hometown, like it's pretty small. So obviously Zane Zedivano, he's from my hometown. Joey Manu, they're both playing for the Roosters and playing really good football. So,
yeah,
like I said, it literally doesn't matter where you come from. And I think I first recognised that probably Lance Ohio when
yeah.
they said he was from Huntley, and probably Benji when they said he's from Whakatane. And so yeah. it wasn't like, oh, just the Auckland players are going to get picked yeah. up or just the guys from Wellington. So it generally felt like we had a chance
yeah.
just for the way we felt.
Yeah. No, awesome, man. Just on footy now, are you still playing?
Nah, done. Happily done.
Yeah. Yep. All right, cool. So let's get into it. This is the part I'm really excited about, man, is obviously YKTR, how that started. I did a bit of a research around it, established in 2016. How did it all come about, man? Like, yeah, talk us through the story.
It is a random story. Like, it's not even that exciting. Like, obviously, I looked up James Higuero and Corey Norman, and they're probably my best mates over here.
Yeah.
And obviously, you live with two footy players. We enjoyed, like, going out and having a good time. Obviously, the boys have gotten a bit of trouble as well over the years before yeah. doing so. But we sort of just found that, like, just through going out, people sort of want to hang out with us. And, like, we sort of felt like our saying sort of caught on. And at the time, we used to always just say, you know the rules. Like, we're basically just talking shit around home. So, like, yeah. I'll go, Corey, oh, do you think you're going to win tonight? And it's sort of like a boastful arrogance, but banter. So, blah, yeah. blah, blah, you know the rules. And that was basically it. And then yep. we should just hashtag it on people's photos. But it was yep. just a sort of private joke between us. We're basically writing on like pretty girls' photos that they were like models and that. And then we're just like hashtag like ATR. And then basically got to put it on the t-shirt. So like something like that. And we're like, yep. oh, we just started wearing it out. And then people were just go, oh, can I buy that? So we made like 10 t-shirts, 20 t-shirts.
Yeah.
And now we've got a clothing company.
Man,
it's weird.
It's out of it. Yeah, yeah. But I guess you know, humble beginnings. But it just came out of, I guess, a saying.
Basically, that's it.
Yeah. When did you, if you can pinpoint, when did you decide that you were going to, I guess, make a go of this?
So I signed to Manly for a year. That ended up being my last year of football, full time. We played nines. I pulled my hammy. That took me out to round five. I come back, played reserve grade, and I remember snapping my pec.
Oh.
So my pec yeah. snapped, and I remember just, I've been thinking it for a couple of years. Like, I was the type of player that was never overly talented. Like, I had to eat right, train my hardest, just to sort of like, I couldn't just rock up and put on a clinic, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was sort of that type of player that always had to do extras just to,
yeah.
just to even compete on the same field, and I always knew that. As I got older, I always sort of knew that. And then I remember, like, in my mind, I was thinking, like, I'm 26, 27 at the time. I was like, fuck, there's so much other shit I want to do. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I don't want to be 32 and, like, can't, like... Like, I was looking at older blokes and they can't even walk and shit properly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I always felt like I had something else to offer besides being a football player. I was really interested into reading books and shit at the time.
Yeah.
Sort of self-development, all that sort of stuff. But I really wanted to travel and stuff as well. So I was thinking, like, I used to always think, like, when I was on the field, I could sit, like, people were going to Europe. I've never been to Europe for a summer holiday. And I'm thinking, like, I'm 28. Like,
yeah,
I'm like, my passion for football is dying down. I'd rather be doing something else, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I remember, and back to when I snapped my pec, I walked into the changing rooms, and it was just me there on my own. I was pretty upset. And I was thinking, oh, I think I'm done, eh? And I said it out loud, it was like a weight off my shoulders, and then I knew it. So we were just started YKTR, but it was sort of a side hustle thing.
Yeah.
Went in for operation, come out, and learned how to build a website, and then build a website with my arm in a sling like that, and we started YKTR from there.
Yeah. Man, that's out of it. And look, it's you started 2016. You're over 2 years into it now. What's some of the lessons that you've learned in starting this clothing label, but also in business that you think that would be of value to share?
I think if you've played sport at any sort of level, there's a correlation between sport and business. And I can understand that because I was never the most talented player. Like, if you take shortcuts in the football field, like, you're not going to be able to, like, turn up on game day. And it's the same shit in business, I swear to God.
Yeah.
Like, it's even funny, like... our expectations of revenue that we're going to make on sales and that have gone up as well. So, like, at the time when we've had our best sales, I was exercising, I was eating healthy, I was sort of living a holistic lifestyle. It wasn't just strictly business, business, business.
Yeah.
And I've found when I've been too immersed in my business and don't have that balance around it, that's weird. Like the revenue that as a business that I expect to make, it doesn't add up as high as it should. Do you know what I mean? Sounds weird. The other one is probably took a lot longer to get paid than I thought I was going to get paid. I thought, give me 6 months, I'll be able to give myself a full-time wage. It took me sort of 14, 15 months before I took a single dollar out and paid myself. And I'm in business with two of my friends. And because I haven't come from a business background, or none of us, we're basically blue-collar kids that play football.
Yeah.
But I don't know anyone owning a business growing up, so I used to feel guilty about like paying myself money because I feel like, sort of felt like I was taken away from them. Yep. I obviously learned about like being an owner, shareholder, and workers' wages and all that sort of stuff. So
yeah,
just learning business 101, do you know what I mean? And like learning from our own mistakes. Another one was taxes, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Get a room shop when you realize how many taxes you have to start paying.
Yeah.
That's just probably a couple of the things.
Yeah. And you just mentioned that you had no business background, no nothing. And just for our viewers that may be looking at starting a business, what was it that kept you going? Was it learn as you go? Or, you know, how were you able to sort of just take that leap?
I can tell you what it kept me to keep going a lot. I could not work a 9-to-5. I don't think I could work a 9-to-5 job. I've never had to, which I'm pretty grateful for because I've always had footy. And then I sort of played park footy last year for cash. But like, I think if I worked a 9-to-5 job in a job I hated for someone else, like that'll eat me up inside. And it is a legitimate fear. Like, do you know what I mean? There's a couple of times where I've gone close where I'm like, fuck, what, KTA is not going to make it? I'm going to have to go get a normal job, but that's a driving force behind it. And there's heaps of times, I reckon there's generally about four times I've gone like, fuck this, like I'm done, like I'm going to quit. And then half an hour later, what's the alternative? Like give up, go work a normal job, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And what's the big vision for YKTR? What's the big picture?
Generally, my first one was to be my own boss and start a business. Yep. So that was my very first one. But I've just started getting into that now because I'm lucky I've got a few business mentors now.
Yeah.
They've approached me and sort of love what we're doing. And go, I'd love to help you out for free. So, and I never used to plan class next week. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And one of the business mentors is you come from a football background, you think week to week. And it was so true. Like, I wouldn't even look at the money coming into our account. I'm just like, oh, yep. I'll just go, yeah, you're sweet. I'll just really blasé about a lot of things. But big vision. I've got a lot of visions for YKTR now. So where I see it, we have a mission statement within our business. This goes inspire change through clothing. So that's our mission statement now. And that's the driving force behind it. So we're doing collabs with charities, with the living organised. Like we were about to do one with Paradise, where we're going to donate back to Junior Rugby League in the Parramatta area, basing around Quarry. But they got turned down from the NRL. But we just really want to align ourselves with a couple of good charities, hopefully raise a good message. But and the other part of it, like I want NRL players to look at us and see an example and go, like, I don't have to go back to working a normal job after I can use what I've got now or the leverage I've got now to pursue something I want to do.
Great lead into my next question, man. So we're just going to go down that path of social media and NRL players and building their brand and also you guys being an awesome example. What's some of the things, because I read your blog, I read that blog you wrote about, you know, NRL players and sort of not utilizing their profile more. With you and yourself now with YKTR, are you looking to build your personal brand alongside it now? And do you see yourself doing speaking, writing a book and going down that path as well?
I've unintentionally self-branded myself just through documenting our journey.
Yeah.
Some people find it motivational and it's got to the point now where I do consulting as well, where I can teach people about how we market and I sort of charge for that. So that's a little, that's a little side thing as well. But what was the question again?
So just with NRL players, that blog that you wrote, do you mind sort of sharing a little bit about expanding on that?
Hey, 100%. So when I was in football, I used to hate like posting football photos, you know what I mean? Because I was like, oh, I see, like in my mind, I was like, oh, I see myself bigger than a football player. But I wish I just pumped it as much as I can right now, because I've said that in the blog. That right now, if you're an NRL player in this country, we hold sports players on a pedestal, same as New Zealand. So right now, you've got leverage where people actually think you're cool. And if you're doing it in the right way, it can benefit you after football. And it's there's sort of that old school stigma about it where if I remember when I was in football, like if you sort of self-promote yourself in your Instagrams, like everyone's like, all the boys are like, what are you doing? Like, you thought you're getting ahead of yourself, but I generally think it's the way forward. And if it's done in the right way, like it's not like this is what I see NRL players doing, because obviously we're on a clothing company, so I get a lot of them come through our inboxes going, can you order some free gear? I'll give you a shout out. So they're only thinking about the short term. So they use their leverage either to get free coffees, get kombucha, get clothes, or chase after girls. You know what I mean? And that's all they just think that. And it's like, that's all I can get. You can do so much with them. And the best way I think I can do it is building great rapport with your fans.
Yes.
And I know a lot of players will go like, oh, I can't be bothered. But you know what I mean? Like, and it's even just pressing that little heart comment on people that reply to you. And that means the world. And I've explained it to a lot of boys. I'm like, if you're lucky enough to have a 5-year career, you do that every game. Because no one goes to sleep after football anyway. Do you know what I mean? You've got insomnia. Yeah. So put in a hashtag. I'll use Corey for an example. Go hashtag Blue and Gold Army. Go, sorry about the result. Thanks for coming. And like, if you talk to one right person, like they can change your life. Do you know what I mean? And generally, they're going to be the people that support you after football as well. Whether you want to open a gym, cafe, if you've taken the time to speak to them when you actually thought you were somebody, they're just going to pay you back. Do you know what I mean? And everyone just wants to get behind someone. They just want something to support or someone to support. And you can do it in a great way. And there's many people. There's a couple of players that are doing it right, I reckon. But a lot of them are wasting it. And once they realise, once they finish football and nobody gives a fuck who you are anymore, that's when they're going to get the rude shock. And that's when I think players get in trouble with like depression and you know what I mean, because it's a different lifestyle, man. So like from football back to normal life, it's so different. And I think a lot of players are in for a rude shock.
Yeah,
and saying that it's kind of their own fault. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And look, it's good that you say that, especially around social media, building that engagement, that rapport with the fans, because essentially or eventually that fan is either going to be your employee, your employer, or your customer. So, and depending on how you look at it, and you've obviously got a great example, and then you've also got two current players who are building their brand as well. So they've got something to transition into. Have you ever looked at running maybe a social media or something, a course for these boys?
Not at the moment. I feel like I do get a lot of them coming through my inbox now, like asking what they can do, all that sort of stuff. But it's like, I pretty much said it out loud or I've written it down, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just basically just trying to do the right thing and give more value than you take.
Yeah.
So everyone sees the 80 minutes at the end of football. Everyone sort of hears about training, but I reckon if you're a football player, you should be showing you should be showing what you eat. You should be showing after a game how you felt. Like, I'd love to see someone on a story after a game go, oh, sorry about something, like, and speak honestly. Like, you know, footy's full of cliches. If they lose, you always hear that, oh, it wasn't the result we're looking for. I'd love to see someone go, hey, sorry about today, we were fucking shit. Do you know what I mean? Just something different. And I think the more truthful you are, the more real, the more you can resonate with people and the more people want to follow you. And I think that's why we've been mildly successful, is because through our vlogs, we get the sort of point across where I feel like people know us, you know what I mean? And we don't hide anything, and like, we've had our bad days and stuff, and we put it all out there for you and you guys can judge.
Yeah. And that's awesome, because, you know, you are dropping a lot of content, vlogging, blogging, and just to sort of go down that road, what's some of the books that you've read or would you recommend to anyone that's looking at starting a business?
Oh,
so many, because I know that you wrote in a post that you were aiming to read a book a week or something.
Yeah, I've sort of run out. At the moment, I'm all about podcasts, because podcasts save time, you know what I mean? So I have read sort of over 100 books, and a lot of them, but one of the best, probably my go-to answer for this, is How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Yeah.
Do you know, and who's by that Dale Carnegie, written in 1935.
Old school.
old school. Written in 1935, and it still holds true today. And it's not even so much about business. It's about people. But once you're in business, you realize people are your business, you know what I mean? And it just makes small points like remembering someone's name or saying their first name, do you know what I mean? So sometimes, like, I make an effort to try and reply to every single person that either comes through our inbox, blah, blah, blah. But if their Instagram is, like, say, Ice1234, like, just even taking a second to click in and seeing that the name is actually Isaac and reply, hey, Isaac, thanks for the message. And do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just makes it a bit more personal.
Personal,
And just small stuff like that. So it's got a lot of great points in it. It's probably the book I've referenced the most. It sits on my bookshelf. All the parts are highlighted, so I go back and sort of check it every now and then. But at the moment, in terms of learning business, how we grow as a business, it's basically watching Gary Vee and his vlog Daily Vee. So he brings out a vlog every day, and you just sort of sit in meetings and you sort of listen to all his advice. And the reason I vlog, the reason I apply to everyone is all from his sort of methods.
Yeah. And it seems to be working really well for you guys. So, take my hat off to you. So we'll just start to lighten up the questions a bit before we open it up. I know you're sort of strapped for time. So 2018 NRL Premiers, who you got your money on?
Oh, man, what about the season that's been already? if I had to put a bulk of money on, I'd probably go Roosters.
Yep. Okay. I don't know if you watch rugby, Super Rugby champions. Who do you think's going to win this year?
Actually, I haven't been watching too much, but I'll go Chiefs because they're my home team.
Yeah. Childhood hero growing up?
Andrew Johns.
Joey Johns. If you had the chance to be mentored by one person, who would it Gary be?
B.
And Gary why? B. Why?
Just because I think ROI on time, if you gave me a time limit on that, an hour, I reckon it could teach me more in an hour than I think anyone else could, to be honest.
Yeah.
And that would be strictly about our business, so.
Yeah. No, awesome. I know Gary Vee, follow him as well. Let's open it up to the fans now. So, anyone that's watching, if you've got any questions for Ice, now's the time. How's it doing post-footy? So, are you reading the comments as well, Isaac?
I'll have a look now.
Okay. This is from Dylan Smith. How come you stopped playing so young?
Oh, to be honest, I just got over it. Like, I wasn't the type of player that could, like I've said before, I wasn't the type of player that could just rock up. I really enjoy my off seasons, to be honest. Like,
I remember sitting
in Bali and thinking, like, how the fuck can I live there and, like, do a job where I don't have to sort of be in the same location, you know what I mean? So I reverse engineered myself. And I was thinking, like, even last year, I was playing, like, park footy, like, on New South Wales Cup. And it was sort of, like, June, July. I'm, like, I'm running around chasing after men where I could be travelling the world, you know what I mean? And that, because I've got no kids or anything like that, that excited me, the thought, like, here's an example. So, stopped playing footy. I've got my weekends back. Like, I'm going to China in 2-3 weeks or probably about a month. And, like, I decided that yesterday, so I'm not tied down to weekends anymore or giving up the week, do you know what I mean? So the thought that I could jump on a plane to Bali tomorrow is something that excites me.
Yeah. Awesome. This is from Chris McGrath. How was let's have a look at who else is there? Any more questions? Now's the time before we start to wrap it up. Dylan Smith, hopefully that answers your question about why I stopped playing.
Right. We're good?
Yeah, no, we're good, man. Oh, here's one more. What was the biggest internal struggle you had when starting up? Any negative thoughts? This must be around YKTR.
Hey, I know Uber. I met him in the airport. I don't know, just trying to differentiate yourself from another, like other businesses, especially in clothing, that's such a saturated market. I get a lot of PTs and a lot of real estate agents coming through and asking for advice as well, and it's the same thing. But you got to sort of break, like, everyone can make clothes, you know what I mean? Like, it's not hard to put one KTR on a t-shirt and try and sell it. So you got to try, and there's a difference between, like, marketing and branding. So I think we've branded ourselves in a way where our vlogs basically turn ourselves into a TV show. where you can sort of like relate to us, and we either give value, like people think Corey and Chico are funny, or they get education out of my blog. So I think if you can entertain or educate or find a way where your brand can sort of help people, I think you're going to win. So that's, I think that's why we've been okay, do you know what I mean? Because, it's hard to separate yourself. And it's so easy to get into.
Yeah.
So that's the other thing.
Yeah, and it's funny you say that because, you know, I know with marketing, and this is just my opinion, I see so many, if we use PTs, for example, all they do is just sell their service. They just pretty much tell everyone what it is they do, as opposed with you guys, with your vlogs and your blogs, you're just sharing content, adding value through that way and building a loyal following. So hopefully that answers your question, Wilbur. And look, last question from Chris. What was it like playing your one test for the Kiwis?
Yeah, it's good. Like I said before, I sort of knew my position as a player. I was sort of the type of player that'll come in and maybe do a job. But probably, in all honesty, I never thought I'd play for the Kiwis. I remember when I was playing, I was like, oh, I shouldn't be here, but I was comfortable in that position. But this is my one shot. I knew it. Obviously, getting paid test matches as well was fun.
Was there still money in the envelope, or did they direct deposit that back then?
Nah, direct deposit. But it took like a couple of months to come through. So surely come through. Nah, but... In all seriousness, we went into the game with 6 debutants against a pretty good Australian side, and we sort of held our gloves up and put in a good contest. And it's sort of one of the things, obviously greatest achievement of my rugby league career, but it's not something I really hold on to. You know, I don't really hold on to like my football career. I'm not the type of person that's going to have football jerseys hanging around. You know what I mean? Because I'm always thinking forward. Like, also, oh fuck, what's the next cool thing I want to do? Actually, just to roll off the back of that, I remember once I finished footy, I go, do you know what the shittest thing about being I remember thinking, I hated being an average football player.
Yeah.
I remember thinking, my next phase in life, my goal is, not to be average. Do you know what I mean? And whatever I can do to do that,
yeah,
I'm gonna try. Do you know what I mean?
Man, and honestly, big ups, bro. And I guess hearing sort of the resilience that you showed throughout your footy career and the passion that you have now for YKTR, man, I just want to say I love watching your content, love the stuff that you're doing, and you definitely are killing it, bro. So I won't hold you up any longer, man. I know you're at a mate's place, but thank you so much, brother. Really appreciate it. Guys.
Thanks for lending me your ear. If you got value out of that, please follow, subscribe, and also share this episode. And head over to athleteempire.co.nz, subscribe to our newsletter, and start to be part of this awesome community of athletes who want to be able to not only give back, but start turning their passions outside of sport into a profession and start generating a profit. Now is the time to be your athlete CEO.